The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With all the problems that are currently in our world, I see two kingdoms fighting in us as we respond to our earthly challenges. And one of them, I call it the kingdom of the self. I will describe it for you. It's a world where everything is easy for me, where a world where I win. You want to go to the grocery store? I want the right price. I do not want that hiked gas. You know, I want a world that in which I win. Does it sound familiar? And it's a world where the law of human nature attracts us to the maximum without any of the resistance from us. If our nature wants something, we rush to fulfill it. And should we? Should we? That's the question. And understandably, in us, we have this innate need to protect ourselves. Therefore, everything we do in this kingdom of self is ultimately for self-preservation. What's in it for me? That's what we ask, don't we? What's in it for me? We want the maximum of benefits, the maximum of rights, the maximum of everything. That's the very much the philosophy behind the kingdom of the self. But obviously, this can be taken to extremes, especially when maximizing our own benefits without caring on how it affects others, such as it could bring violence, selfishness, and the sort. And the second is the kingdom of God promised by Jesus Christ our Lord. Only few actually can see and visualize it. It's like a parallel environment where everything, in everything, trust and believe in Jesus Christ is the key. So in this kingdom, the focus is not only going to be about caring for the self, but on caring for others. Or when it's about changing, we work on changing ourselves rather than changing other people. If you can remember what Jesus said about why are we trying to look at the speck in other people's eyes while we have a log in our own eyes. So today's scripture is a testimony to the fact that we Christian believers can actually succeed at not living in the kingdom of self, but we can actually live in the kingdom of God. It is very possible. We have that capacity because Jesus Christ made it very possible for us to live in that kingdom of God. The moment you accept Jesus Christ in your life and you put your life under the leadership of Jesus Christ, then the kingdom of God begins for you that time. So at that time, then we become cognizant that There is the presence of God in this physical world, in which, by the way, you and I know there's a lots of the problems, and the spiritual world. But God lives in that world, both worlds. God lives with us. But also, as Christians, we understand that there is a presence of the evil one in this world. And the scripture actually tells us that who's the leader of this world? Who's the leader? Exactly. The evil one is the leader of this world. So Christians know about that. Now that we live in a world that where everything looks bad, and I won't tell you that in centuries before, they did have bad news as well, as much. Well, this my friend Leroy gives me a newsletter. This is Wall Street Journal, and the front page has the recent mass shootings. Now, for Christians of a centuries, when such tragic thing happen in the community rally together. They embrace each other. They comfort each other. They mourn for their loved ones. And they comfort one another, the families that have just lost their loved ones. That's what Christians do. And they know, they have learned to know that in this world has lots of evil things happen. It's not only this that made the page news. Don't you think that this is the only thing happening in the world? No. There's plenty other worse thing than this. But that means we rally with each other. We pray as if we are with them. We feel their pain as if we are with them. That's what Christians do. But naturally, even though we are growing in this wonderful society in many ways, but we are generally seeing that we are becoming more and more a polarized society. But I want to suggest to you that God knows about that, and he's ahead of us in this whole thing with his plan of redemption. He is active in this world with his Holy Spirit, despite the chaos that you see. Of course, the newspapers will tell us what's wrong. They will. But they won't tell you how many families have been around making meals for those families who's just been bereaved. They won't tell us that. So God is working hard, and using a lot of people to do good deeds to make our world a better place. And I will want to share with you a story of a Belgian Catholic nun. Sister Emmanuelle passed away in 2008. When she was 13 years old, she read a book by missionaries in Africa. They told her a story about how the first missionaries who arrived, they were all killed, completely killed. And that was not the only war, because the tribes fought within each other. And so people were thrown in rivers, and others were burnt alive. And the second missionaries who went, they are the ones who wrote this book that Sister Emmanuelle wrote. And the people were receptive. You know, their blood were not gone for nothing. So they started preaching people. They started understanding. There's new ways of living. You don't have to kill each other. And so they told stories of the suffering and sufferings of children who lived in that society with all those circumstances of losing parents, losing aunts, or losing people. So there's a lot of children that needed care, needed teaching, needed guidance. And so at 13 years old, she told her parents, "I want to become a missionary to Africa." Of course, her parents say, "Okay, well, that's nice, because maybe you're too young, you're going to change." But she was very serious. When she became 23 years old, she went into the convent, and then eventually she was sent to Africa. So she spent 22 years in Arabic nations, and she served also in other African countries. So as she's telling this story, she's 93 years old. 93 years old. Can you believe? Now, if God can use a 93-year-old sister, why can't he use you and me to change the story of our world? God is busy healing us and our nation through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you heard all the scriptures today, I can see a picture of God's vision for us. There's this marriage between the heaven and earth where the scriptures were talking about the grace of God that will be with you, that will protect you, that will be with you when you go to serve God. You don't have to fear. You don't have to ask the question, God, what will I do for you? Where, what if I go there? What will happen? No, the grace of God will be with you. And also they talked about the healing of God that comes straight from the throne of God. You got hurt in this world more than one time. God's healing will always be with you straight from the throne of God. Peace. Jesus promised you his peace straight from the heart of God to yours. You will have God's peace with you. And Jesus, remember, told us, I am going to the Father to look for a place for you in my Father's house. And this book of Revelation described in vivid details what that place looks like for us. I would say sublime. There is no suffering of any kind in that place, on the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the servants will be worshiping God. And then they say they will see God. Do you remember what God told Moses when he met him? He said, I will let you see my back, because if you see my face, you will die. You can't see God. And then God promises in Revelation, those last chapters is the culmination of the story. And he says, and they will see God. I am in. I want to be there. Don't you? I want to be there and I want to see God. And it mentions also the tree of life that it says that will be giving a lot of healing to the nations. By the way, the nations is the Gentiles, which is us. And this tree of life is the cross of Christ. When you get to be a part of Jesus Christ and he becomes one with you, then a lot of things change in your life. On the cross, success dies. On the cross, our ego dies. Our skills die. Our strength and weaknesses die. And all my worldly yearnings, the things that I love about this world, being in a pool and, you know, sipping a margarita on this great island, and, you know, all the things that we've, and, you know, owning a boat and, you know, all those things, they all die with nailed on the cross. Because life in Jesus Christ, that's all that matters at that point. But if you remember or have seen the movie called Finding Nemo, there's an instance there that I really, really kind of was an inspiration to me. There was this instance where there is this big current, ocean current within the ocean. It's like this massive highway, underwater highway, where all the turtles were passing through. That's how I imagine that it will be with us, even in this world, that you get caught up in this river of God, where the water of life, where God is healing you, the Holy Spirit is with you, and he's inspiring you, and he's telling you, this is what I want you to do in this world. You are the agent of transformation and healing for this world. And this is what God is doing within you by his Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to end with this for you. And this is what Jesus says, and I will paraphrase, forgive me, I will paraphrase. Don't let your heart be troubled. In other words, don't look at how bad the situation is. Keep my words with you. Keep my words with you. We pray here every morning. Every morning we are here, repeating God's word, repeating God's word, so that we can be part of the word. It can be, and I can quote the word easily, because I am in it every day by day, Monday to Thursday, Friday. Receive my peace. It's good that I am going to the Father, the Holy Spirit will come to you and will teach you and will remind you everything that I have taught you. And this way, humanity has been taken into heaven, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, you may be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that you may be strong and endure everything with patience. So, go out in the world, into the world, in the name of Christ, and serve the Lord. Don't be frightened. I am with you, Jesus says to us. Amen.